T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He's a senior analyst with Pro Football Focused. He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He, of course, is Steve Palazzolo right here on 92.3 The Fan. Steve, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure. I guess we start with this. The Browns yesterday, pretty nice haul on day one of free agency, certainly addressing the offense. So, your thoughts on those three, and then where do the Browns, you think, go as far as addressing the defensive needs? That back seven certainly needs a lot of help.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the big names on offense and everything, I think, you know, well, start with Jack Conklin. I think at right tackle, a lot of money for him as a tackle. I think the market kind of dictated where they had to go there. Conklin's very good as a run blocker. He has been since Michigan State. I think as a pass blocker, he's had a little bit of help in Tennessee. I think when you put him on an island, he's not great. So it's a lot of money for a guy that is, you know, pretty good, not great in pass protection. But there's value in that in today's NFL, as long as you're not disastrous. And I think the fact that the Browns' tackle situation was pretty poor last year and that they can at least get an upgrade there in Conklin, that'll be worth it. My concerns with Austin Hooper at tight end, however, it's more – you know, his production was, you know, really schemed up pretty well, I think, in Atlanta. I think he's more of a complementary piece, not a guy that you're going to, you know, reset the tight end market at. So, or with. So, I don't love Hooper. I mean, I think you could get your 60, 70 catches out of him and, you know, he'll do some nice things. I just don't know if he's the type of guy that goes above and beyond. You're not going to get defensive coordinators saying, man, how do we stop Austin Hooper this week when we have George Kittle and Travis Kelce and other tight ends around the league where, that has to be the case. You're not going to move him around and create a ton of mismatches. So, you know, probably an overpay there for Hooper. But again, you know, pairing him with a David Njoku, or whether or not Njoku's here, it's still a nice piece to have on the offense and to get Baker back on track.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steve, you know, the fact is, you mentioned those other guys, those top tight ends in the league. We can't get those guys, right? I mean, they're under contract. So we're looking at a guy like Austin Hooper. You're going to probably have to overpay for it. And if you're Kevin Stefanski and you want to play primarily out of 12 personnel with a couple of tight ends, you got to have a good one. And at least Hooper gives you the option to be – he's a solid player, right? You would say at least that. I mean, he's not Kittle. He's not Kelce, but he's a solid player.
He's a solid player. And like I said, the market dictated that, right, not only the free agent market, but the draft market at tight end. It's pretty weak in both spots. You know, so there's two ways to look at it. As my colleague over at PFF said, you know, you're not going to go – you know, overpay for toilet paper just because it's disappearing right now. So you've got that angle. And then the other angle is, yes, he's going to be at least an upgrade and a guy that you can use at the position.
Steve, on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker, safety, I get the sense, and I obviously could be wrong here, correct me if I am, but I get the sense the Browns could add some on the defensive side of the ball, and not necessarily their, you know, game breakers, but they also won't be, you know, high price tags. Is that fairly accurate, you think, as far as the linebacker and safety position?
Yeah, I mean, linebacker in particular, I think a lot of the top names disappearing, including Joe Schobert. I mean, it's not a position I want to spend with these guys. I love Joe Schobert. I love Corey Littleton. I don't want to spend the huge money on those guys, certainly not the money that was spent on, say, a Blake Martinez. I liked Nick Kwiatkowski, who went to the Raiders on a pretty decent deal, but he's not really a game changer, you know. As you're saying, you know, guys like Devondre Campbell from Atlanta has just been a solid player, but it's not like a great linebacker group here. The safeties, I think you could find a little bit more value still, and I think we're seeing the same thing as a couple of years ago, where a few more safeties It's a slow market for some of the safeties. Guys like HaHa Clinton Dix still out there. Trey Boston is the guy who always seems to produce from a coverage standpoint, three different teams in 3 years, and always extremely productive. I think there are some bargains to be had as far as the safety position goes. Probably a little bit of a cleaner market maybe than linebacker.
Steve, what do you think about Malcolm Jenkins? Does he still have some value as a veteran free agent safety?
Yeah, I like Jenkins. We were just re-ranking our free agent board. We have him coming in. I believe it's 8 right now. And, you know, he's different than, say, a HaHa Clinton Dix because he can play all over the place, brings some versatility, covers the slot, can cover tight ends, can play deep if you need it. I think he really rejuvenated his career with the Eagles. He started his career with the Saints, missed a ton of tackles, left some plays on the field, but he was just incredibly just productive, consistent with the Eagles, graded at 70-plus in the PFF grading system every year, all 6 years with the Eagles. So I think Jenkins still has plenty to offer, and yeah, he would absolutely be a guy to target.
We're talking to Steve Palazzolo, Senior Analyst, Pro Football Focus, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Steve, the big news of the day, obviously Tom Brady, and it's official, at least according to his social media account, that he will not be back with the Patriots. This has so many layers to it. I guess let's start with the departure. Do you think that the biggest factor in all of this is, hey, Brady wants a certain amount of money, he wants a certain amount of, you know, guarantees as far as personnel, and Belichick's not willing to go there? Or is it just simply, hey, you know what, Belichick kind of feels like it's time to move on, and he can, even Tom Brady, he can fill those shoes at a much cheaper spot?
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, when you look at Brady, I remember his dad had said in interviews a lot through the years, you know, it's not going to end well. And that was 4, 5, 6 years ago, basically saying, it, you know, Joe Montana had to do this, Brett Favre had to do this, everybody has to do this at some point. And I think the Bradys as a family kind of knew at some point it needs to end. And, you know, the tough part of that is figuring out when. So I think from Brady's point of view, he wanted to, you know, go out into the wilderness and be wanted and see what was out there. And I think he also may see just where the roster is right now. It was an uncomfortable situation for everybody on the offense last year. It was terrible. Brady didn't decline as much as the numbers would have shown. It was just a poor situation. And I think from Belichick's standpoint, you know, they have to do the best thing for business as well. So every one of their star players at some point, he said, here's the price tag. Here's what I'm willing to pay. You take it or leave it. And I think, you know, from both ends, Brady, yes, wanted some more assurances. And I think Belichick said, look, long-term for the organization, we have to move on and find the next guy.
Steve, what are your thoughts on Cam Newton and, you know, whether or not if he's healthy can be that star player that we once saw?
Yeah, you know, so my take on Cam is, you know, one that usually gets Panthers fans all riled up. I lump about 60% of the quarterbacks in the NFL into like the middle tier, maybe 80%, mid-tier quarterback. I still think that's what Cam is. And he had one spectacular MVP season where everything came together. But for the rest of his career, he's been good, not great. Obviously, he's a rushing threat. That would be the biggest concern for me. If you're just going to have him drop back pass and not run him a few times a game, you're missing out on a ton of value that he brings, and it might be time in his career to cut back on that. But I think of all the guys on the market, I look at him and Jameis Winston as like the high-end, the highly volatile quarterbacks, where if you're willing to put them in a situation where they can air it out, have some playmakers, have them go up and get it, those are your best bets. Whereas like the Teddy Bridgewaters who just came off the board and, you know, some other guys are a little bit more, you know, safer options. I think Cam Newton is a potential high upside option, but with a lot of risk because of the injury component and the fact that you probably have to stop running him as much as they did in Carolina when he was at his peak.
Steve, taking into account that, you know, look, we don't know how this whole thing's going to play out in Houston and what Bill O'Brien's plan is, but I mean, my God, the optics are terrible here with the deal as far as DeAndre Hopkins. What do you make of that?
I don't like it at all, obviously. I mean, look, I'm a big believer in, you know, don't get too caught up in star names getting traded. I think I'm encouraging the Panthers to trade Christian McCaffrey for their long-term health. You know, I'm okay with it, but the return has to make sense. And in this point, it just doesn't make sense at all. If you went into the offseason as the Houston Texans and you looked at your roster and said, man, we can't win because our back seven is just really bad right now. They are a disaster in the back seven. They bring back Bradley Roby. They still have a ton of work to do. If that was the point and you said, look, our one piece here is DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to flip him, but flip him in a way that you could maybe get three valuable players in return. I could understand that move. I could see that as a potential move, but they didn't. They got a, you know, an aging running back contract and a second round pick. So yes, it's not a great move. You know, the fact that they've given up two first rounders for Laremy Tunsil. They let Jadeveon Clowney go. They let DeAndre Hopkins go for pennies on the dollar. Not a good multi-year look, I don't think, for the Texans since making the great move to trade up and get Deshaun Watson in the 2017 draft.
The Colts are signing Phillip Rivers to a one-year contract. Is that a smart move or a bad move?
No, I like it a lot. I think the Colts are ready to make a move. I think they've been really prudent with their drafting and stocking up on just, you know, not great players, but just some depth and talented players around, you know, around the board. I didn't love the DeForest Buckner trade for the 13th overall pick yesterday, but I think Rivers for that roster will be solid. Got to get some more playmakers there. It'll be the best offensive line he's played in front of since, you know, maybe forever. They were our number three offensive line last year, and they brought back the only potential missing piece, Anthony Costanzo, at left tackle. So Rivers will finally have some protection, and for all those, you know, balls that he floats down the field where it looks like his arm's ready to fall off, you know, the indoor, the dome, so to speak, should help that just a little bit, make the arm look a little bit better for Rivers.
Steve, good stuff as always. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon, pal. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Steve Palazzolo, Senior Analyst, Pro Football Focus.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.